We're blessed. And if we took the rest of the day and talked about the goodness of God in the life of our church, we would just begin to barely scratch the surface. God has been so very good to us in so many different ways. And what I see today is a great representation of what heaven is and how totally, completely, wonderfully inclusive the gospel message of Jesus Christ is. There are people in this room with different personalities, different socioeconomic standards of life. You live in different cities, different counties, some of you in different states. And if you're here, if you've joined us from out of town to help us celebrate today, God bless you and thank you for being here. And we're thankful for all that God's done in the life of our church. And that this is not about a single family. It's not about honoring a man just for the sake of the man. It's honoring what God has done in the life of a man. And thanking God for the heritage that He's given us. And we can't possibly know where to go and how to get there if we do not know where we came from. And if you do not know the story of Trinity and how we came to be, then you need to take old, 10 or 15 minutes and sit with Brother Jerry and allow him to tell you some stories about people like Dora Cox, people like Addie Rice. There's a wonderful couple, if you knew them, you loved them, the Dillinghams, Franklin and Ruby. People that made a lasting impact. Miss Macy Bailey always comes to mind when I feel the love of this church family. Our founding pastor, Dr. Ralph Sexton Sr., his wife Jackie, we called her Nana. God has blessed us. And even today where I am standing to preach, I'm actually just a few feet away from my great-grandparents' breakfast table. Their house used to sit here. And all the sacrifice that's been made by the generation that came before us, the generations that came before us, and now our generation sits here, and I'm 35, and if you're younger than 50, our generation has an opportunity to not look at the generation's past as something that is unobtainable or that is just for that time to see God do great things and mighty things. But this is our opportunity to say, Lord, do it for our generation. Do it now for the sake of our children and our grandchildren and for what you want to do here with this local church. And so today my heart is very simply put this way, to give a charge. And I want to give a charge not only to our church, but Granddaddy, with all due respect and with love before God, I want to give a charge to you. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, we'll read through verse 8. Paul writes, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, whom shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and it shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Shall we pray together? Holy Father, in Jesus' name, God, we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise, Lord, for this day, this Lord's day, Lord, that we have gathered to see your face, to study your word, and God, to be encouraged. Lord, I thank you for what today means in the life of our church, for the past 59 years of faithfulness and goodness and mercy. And God, for these 50 years of Pastor Ralph's influence in his ministry, Lord, for all of it, we lay it at your feet and we give you praise, glory, and honor. Bless us now as we preach. Give us liberty to say exactly what you would have us to say. Give us clarity of mind, strength of body. May every heart and every mind be focused on your word. Hide me behind the cross. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen and amen. Allow me to remind you, the students of the word that are here, you already are familiar with this. Maybe you're not so familiar with this second letter from the Apostle Paul to Timothy. But this is his final letter, his last words, if you will, recorded in Scripture, written around AD 67 from a Roman prison. The great Apostle Paul was facing certain death. It was just a few days away. And he's writing here to Timothy, not as a defeated man, but he's writing as a soldier for Christ, a soldier who has kept the faith. This soldier has not been derelict in his duty. This soldier has stayed exactly in the calling and in the duties he had received orders to carry out. He did not falter and he did not fail. The story of the Apostle Paul reveals to us that he had been abandoned by most of his friends, most of his companions. But if you'll notice in what he writes to Timothy, that his focus was not on himself. He wasn't writing about his chains or even his own life. He was focused on the next generation. He was focused on the generation of men who would preach the word of God. And Paul's desire was that the message would outlive the messenger. And through inspiration and through our Bible and perfect canonization of Scripture, that has come to fruition. Paul's focus, hear me, was on Timothy. It wasn't on himself. It was his heart. You read in chapter 1, Paul talks about Timothy and he calls him his dearly beloved son. Paul is imploring him, even though it's going to be hard and even though there will be adversity, hard times, he's telling his beloved son, not his physical son, but his spiritual son, he's saying, Timothy, stay strong. Endure the hardness of everything that will come to pass. And then ultimately, Timothy, at the end of the day, when all of the pressure mounts, preach the word. And here we find Paul. He's giving Timothy this final charge. And if you'll pay close attention this morning, this is not just a reflection on what had been. Hear me. Paul is not giving Timothy, this charges my battery, new revelation. Paul's not changing the tone. He's not changing anything about what he has said in the past. Paul is simply reiterating. He is confirming everything that he has already said. He's confirming, he's reiterating everything that he's lived in front of Timothy. And today, church family, I believe with all of my heart we find ourselves at a similar moment. For 50 years, our Paul, if you'll allow me to use the description, our Moses, our five-star general, Dr. Ralph Sexton, he's been like a Paul to many of us who are here. A man who has fought a good fight and who is pushing to finish his course. And I can say proudly, all glory to God, a man who has kept the faith. A perfect man? No. A man to be worshipped? No. But a God who has intervened in one man's life to make a difference in the life of Timothy. And for 59 years, Trinity, many of us here have stood as Timothy. We have sat under the preaching of Paul, if you'll allow it, learning, following, and devoting our lives to the service of Christ. And that too is to be recognized and it is to be celebrated. This morning is not a funeral. Boy, some of you don't know that. He ain't dead yet. Praise God, he said. You want to start a rumor, put on Facebook that Pastor Ralph has a Band-Aid. He'll be in the grave by lunch. I hate Facebook for that reason. But this isn't a funeral. This isn't even a closing chapter. This, for our church and even for the man of God as he sits on the front row, this is a continuation. This is not the end. This is a continuation of the call. And from this sacred text, I want to give, with the help of the Lord, two charges One to the church and one to the man. And to the church, let me define who the church is. And you say, well, I'm not a member here. This isn't for me. If you are a believer, if you are in the faith today, say amen. Amen. This charge is for you. It is for the church, every believer who has a walk with God. Number one, I want you to see that we are to stand on the word. Church, if you want to be charged on how to go forward, what to do, what to say, where to go, the first thing we must do is to recommit today to stand on the word. Paul's first imperative to Timothy, it was clear, preach the word, preach the word, preach, Timothy, the word. And in the previous chapter, he'd already reminded Timothy of just how vital the word of God was. 2 Timothy 3:16, in my heart of hearts, this is the other 3:16 we must know. Everybody knows John 3:16, but to back up John 3:16, you need the beauty of 2 Timothy 3:16. The Bible says of itself that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Bible isn't rhetorical, and it's not rhetorical, neither is it redundant, nor is it repetitive to say that there is a war today for truth. There's a war today in the hearts and the minds of every person under the sound of my voice for what truth really is. And there is a war ultimately that's not against a conservative political movement. It's not a war that's against a Republican or a Democrat ideology. At the end of the day, the ultimate war, the war that's palpable in the heart of every believer, is the war for the Bible. It's a war of good versus evil. And the word is not just inspired today. The word is sufficient. The word there in 3:16, 2 Timothy, the word there that I want us to pay attention to, and if you've heard me preach it all in the last year, you've heard me use this verse over and over. The word there is inspired. It's inspiration of God. Pay close attention to that. If you go back and you study the Greek and you take it apart, the word there is theopneustos. Theopneustos. Theos being God, neustos meaning to breathe out. Meaning that the word of God is saying of itself, better yet, say it this way, Paul is reminding Timothy that the word of God is everything you possibly need for this life. It is the very breath of God breathed on pages for us to consume. Think of that. The air, the breath, the respiratory effort of the divine breathed out for us to consume. This is my connection to Christ. This is my sustainment for life. And the word of God, the Bible, does not need to be edited. It doesn't need to be updated. It doesn't need to be diluted to fit the times. And Trinity, if you are a member of this church, you know this to be true, and it will be true by the help of God, that the Bible is what built Trinity Baptist Church. And if we'll have any faithful ministry going forward, it will be standing on the word of God, and it will carry us until the Lord comes. If you want to be charged today as a Christian, if you want to know where to start in your life, mamas and daddies, if you want to know where to start with your children, start with the word of God. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Oh, I don't believe the Bible. The Bible is still true. I don't like what the Old Testament says. The Bible is still true. I have a hard time believing in the flood. The Bible is still true. Was there really a Garden of Eden? The Bible is still true. Was all of the things said in the Old Testament leading up to the New Testament? Do we need any of it? The Bible is still true. It doesn't matter what man says or what man does or what man thinks or what man teaches in the university. At the end of the day, no power in heaven, no power in hell, no power on earth can subvert the truth that the word of God is the word of God. The Bible is so imperative for our lives. And when men in our culture, men in our faith, when they lose sight of what's right, when they lose sight of what matters, and even when they lose sight of what should be accepted, the church must keep her eyes firmly fixed on Jesus through the word. Secondly, not only are we to stand on the word, but we are to stay in the work. Everybody say that word with me, work. One, two, three, work. Stay in the work. The church is to be working. The church is to be active. The church is to be serving. In verse 2, he tells him, be instant in season and out of season. What does that mean? It means that we are to be faithful when it's easy, and we're to be faithful when it's hard. Ministry is not measured in moments of applause, but in seasons of endurance. And the ministry of this church has walked on mountaintops. And the ministry of this church has walked in deep valleys. Even last year, in one of the deepest valleys in recent memory. But in every season of this church's life, and in every season of our existence, the work for God, when we had no money, it goes on. And the work for God, when it was difficult, and even when the city of Asheville itself was pushing back against us for this building to even exist, listen, the work of God went on. Galatians 6:9, notice this verse. And let us not be weary in well-doing. I know. Many of you here today are doing your best. And you're physically tired and you're spiritually tired. And the last year for our community, no doubt, has been emotionally draining. But allow the words of this incredible book to inspire your heart again. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There is work to be done. There will always be moments in the life of the church where the ground feels hard, where hearts seem resistant, where progress seems slow. But church family, hear me, that's when faithfulness to God matters the most. You read the Bible, you learn all of doctrine, and you take everything in, and you look at the stories and the lives of the men and women that God uses to tell the story of the Bible. The examples that he uses, and the truth is that God does not reward the popular. God rewards the persistent. So Trinity, stay in the work. Don't grow weary. Don't slow down. Don't give up. Keep serving. Keep sowing. Keep shining. Because one day, the harvest will come. Thirdly, church. All the church say amen. Well, that's weak. All the church say amen.
Amen.
Shine for the world. Stand on the word, stay in the work, but shine for the world. And you say, why would we shine for the world? Well, look what he said in verse 5 of 2 Timothy 4. He said, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. That means that we are to not let the fire go out, to keep spreading the gospel. And the church's mission has never been, listen now, for survival. The church has no manual on circling the wagons and digging a hole and putting our head in said hole. The church has been called to go, to teach, to preach, to baptize in all nations, in all places, in all languages, with all effort. We're to go, we're to shine for the world. Matthew 5:14, Jesus speaking to all the believers. Again, believers, say amen.
Amen.
Jesus says to you, you are the light of the world. You are. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Hear me, this is not the finish line. Why? Because we're still here. Rapture has not taken place. And if the tribulation had started, I would not be here. Meaning there is still work to be done. There are still people in our lives that need to hear. And the gospel torch that was ignited here 59 plus years ago, it's still burning. But it must be handed to those who are coming behind us. And today is an opportunity for some people in our family, in our church, in our sphere of influence, to stop being church spectators in love and start being church participators. You see, the mindset and the mentality of the modern Christian is, what can the church do for me? And at the end of the day, it's not about what the church can do for you. It's about what you can do for the Lord through your local church. There's work to be done. He said in verse 16 of Matthew 5, Jesus did, "Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Notice how possessive it is to be for us. Your light, your good works, for who? For who? For they. Who is they? It's them who do not have the light. Who do we know in our lives, at work, at school, maybe even at our own Thanksgiving tables this coming Thanksgiving, who will be sitting there without the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ? How many people do you know truly in your life that need Jesus? How many faces even now pop into your mind? How many friends? How many family members? There's work to be done. Paul is charging Timothy to continue. But what's beautiful about this is that Paul was not telling Timothy something that Paul had not lived. Paul wasn't just full of hot air and words. Paul was an example. Paul lived what he preached. Paul lived what he wrote. And Granddaddy, I believe with all my heart that's what you've done for us. For 50 years, you've lived it in front of us, preaching the word, enduring afflictions, doing the work of an evangelist, salt and light. If there is a greater example in my life, I don't know who it is that has been salt and light than my grandfather, our pastor emeritus, Dr. Ralph Sexton Jr. So now, like Timothy standing before his mentor, Timothy standing before his Paul, allow me, please, to charge, to encourage the man who has been like Paul among us. A charge to the man. Granddaddy, this will just be between us and everybody else can listen. You've already been ordained and you don't need to be reordained. You've already been called and you don't need to be recalled. You've already been saved and you don't need to be resaved. But today's an opportunity for you and I just to have a conversation and to get down to the nitty gritty. 2 Timothy 4, go to verse 5. "But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." And Paul's final words are not ones of defeat, but they are words of victory. Paul's not complaining about the prison. He's not complaining about persecution. He's not complaining even about the pain. He's rejoicing in the faithfulness of God. His concern isn't for himself, but his concern is for the continuation of the ministry through Timothy. What an honor. And in the same way, this charge today is not about concluding a life or its work. It's about the work going on. Three things. Number one, continue in consistency. Sophie said it best. All the words and all the attributes that the children and the grandchildren had gathered together and they wrote about you, words like Christ-like, devoted, kind, forgiving, the greatest word, and Sophie nailed it. It was consistent. Continue in consistency. He said in verse 5, "Watch thou in all things." That means to stay alert, stay anchored, and stay discerning. For 50 years, you've stood for the truth when others drifted. You've preached the whole counsel of God, and you've never, not one time, cut a corner as it pertains to Scripture. You've held fast to the faith. And Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:13, "Hold fast the form," listen church, this is how we pray for him, "the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." Our prayer for Pastor Ralph as he turns the page and heads into the next chapter is that he would remain consistent to the word of God and consistent in his lifestyle. So many men of God have fallen in the past 2 years. Scandal after scandal, heartache after heartache, embarrassment and reproach on the name of Christ. And if you think for 3 seconds that the devil himself would not enjoy bringing down the great giant himself, you are fooled. You say he's 78 years old, he's beyond. No, sir, no, ma'am. He is in that, now more than ever, in desperate need of our prayer, our love, and our guidance, our protection. And granddaddy, as you continue, guard what God has entrusted to you. Keep being who God has developed you to be. Guard your consistent walk and your tender heart, for they are treasures to the church. The world is changing, and the world is falling apart, but the gospel truth that he's preached for over 50 years, here's the good news, it still works. It is the gospel unto salvation, the truth unto sanctification of the saints, the purifying of the body. And we pray for you as you continue in consistency. Secondly, continue in compassion. I believe Scripture shows us that as Paul grew older, and I use that word very carefully and very respectfully, because some people don't like the word old at all. Learn that the hard way. Up in years, I don't know what the right term is. Winter years, that even sounds worse. But the older that Paul got, I believe Scripture shows us that his tone softened. The same man who you'll remember strongly rebuked Peter could also write this. This is from 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. And here's a word that we all struggle with, patient. I don't know anybody in my life that is more apt to teach, patient, and gentle. Paul's time in the trenches of ministry made Paul more like Christ every day. And granddaddy, the same can be said of you. The older you have grown, the more Christ-like you've become. Your heart is so soft for people. Your patience has deepened, and your compassion for people, it overflows every day. And listen, I love you, and sometimes it drives me crazy because I don't get it. But you have been doing this a lot longer than I have. And young men in their 30s, as we saw on video, can be in love with fiery words and passion. And no matter how loud and no matter how passionate, it still must be done with love and with gentleness to all men. Continue with that. Let every message you preach, every conversation you have, every act of ministry, let it reflect the mercy and the gentleness of your Lord. And this is the evidence of your life verse being lived out. If you don't know Pastor Ralph's life verse, it's John 3:30. The verse says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Keep going. Thirdly and lastly, a charge to our man, humbly before God, continue in confidence. Continue in confidence. Paul said to Timothy in verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered. I do not imagine that in his heart as this was written, that it was written softly nor wimpily. It was written with tenacity, with a heart that was big and that was full. He said, I am now ready to be offered. Offered up for what? To be killed. At the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That word, depart, if you study that out, the word is anelusis. Anelusis is this. It means to loosen the ropes and to set sail. To loosen the ropes and to set sail. The good news is this is not the end, no matter what. Paul wasn't fearful. His heart, like a good soldier on the battlefield, it was full, and he had done all that he could do. To the best of his ability, Paul lived out every day that God gave him, and he wanted each day to count. Confidence. Head held high. Full steam ahead. No cowardice, no quitter, no reverse gear in his gearbox. Just like a battle tank that kept going and kept shooting and stayed on mission until it ran out of diesel. Paul knew that the same God, the same Jesus who had met him on the Damascus Road, the same God that had opened the door for him to proclaim Christ in three missionary journeys, the same God who carried him through every storm, through shipwreck and snake bite, Paul could be confident because he knew that God would carry him all the way home until the ropes could be untied and his ship could set sail towards the great harbor of heaven. And Granddaddy, no doubt, you too, you've seen God's faithfulness across decades of ministry. And the truth is that every answered prayer, every soul saved, every mountaintop experience, every deep and dark valley that you've been through, it's been the evidence of his sustaining grace in your life. Continue with that confidence. The truth is, and I believe this, I had a conversation with a pastor just last night about this. The truth is that Pastor Ralph's greatest influence, I believe, still lies ahead. His greatest days are not behind him. Our prayer for him should not only be that God would keep him, but that God would enlarge his coast, and that God would deepen your walk, and that he would open more doors than ever before. The reward is ahead, though. 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And church family, I can't imagine the crowns that are already awaiting him. But the work continues. There's still much to do. And Granddaddy, my heart for you is to go all the way, leave nothing on the field. And when you get tired, hear me now, rest. Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
As the doctor told Aunt B, we're no spring chicken anymore. I will get payback for that. When you get tired, though, buddy, I want you to rest. We need you. We need you. And then after you've taken a nap, get back up and keep going. On days of doubt and difficulty, when you think maybe you've been stretched too thin, or somehow doubt or fear slips in and clouds judgment or stifles discernment, keep fighting for clarity. Keep focused on the prize. Keep your sword in your hand. Continue with that battle cry mentality and go out with a handful of demon hide in the other hand. Hell will rejoice the day that God takes you home. I prefer a rapture. But if the Lord tarries and we don't get to get the elevator experience, we have to go the hard way, take the stairs. And if we have to go through death, I promise you, we'll go through it together, hand in hand. That's a promise before God and this church. You will finish well. And hear me, you know this better than I do, but it will be worth it all. Every lie that was ever told, every heartache and every pain that was ever experienced, God keeps a good set of record books, and it will be worth it all. I can say with absolute certainty that Grandmama was and is so very proud of you. Her dying wish in ER room 14 at the old ER was that she could go to heaven and get out of the way so that you could go preach. And she had a deal with the Lord that I didn't really approve of. But she's so proud of you. When she would be in the bed sick and you had to go preach, I remember as a teenager how conflicted you were. Watching, you didn't even know up to the moment you would leave if you could go. And I'll never forget what she would do. She would say, come back here and get a shower and put on a suit. And she'd pick out your tie. And then she'd say, I'll be fine. You go preach. The great is her reward. And she's proud of you, no doubt. Church family, Pastor Ralph, Granddaddy, the charge is for all of us. Don't retreat. Recommit. Don't retire. You hate that word. But reignite. This is not the end of an era. It's the continuation of God's perfect will for this church family. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Holy Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we bow our heads as your children, as humbly as we know how. And we thank you for grace and mercy, for life. Lord, this vapor that you can take and use for your glory. Lord, the influence of one man, one life. Lord, what lessons can be learned. Lord, I pray today that every life and every heart here, Lord, would feel the charge, the weight of the responsibility on all of us. And that, Lord, together we would charge for Jesus. Until you relieve us of duty, bind our hearts together in unity, and use us for your glory. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our King, we pray. Amen and amen. Church family, I want you to get on your feet and I want you to clap your hands and I want you to welcome to the pulpit of Trinity Baptist Church, Dr. Ralph Sexton Jr.
Thank you so much. God bless you. You can be seated. Thank you for your kindness. And thank you for a wonderful weekend, a time of celebration and remembrance. Definitely not worthy in the old flesh. We are so very careful to make sure God gets all the glory, all the honor. He's the one that's done it all. We're just vessels that are commissioned for his use. And the very first message I ever preached was on this property in the old church, the student building now. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. And it was in March 1975. And God was so good to us. Over 70 people came to know the Lord as Savior that day. By the means of the radio, it was broadcast live into the Inca plant and two other places, Mission Hospital. And people were getting saved at work. And it became a contagion that day for salvation. And God sealed for me that call that I had wrestled with so many years in my life. I didn't want to be daddy called or mama sent. I wanted to know that God had done that in my life. And so I thank you for sharing this memory walk with me, the lobby's filled with memorabilia of 50 years on the road, everything from hotel keys to vehicles we had to live in. And it's quite a memory walk. But thank all of those that worked so hard to make it possible. Pastor Winston, Miranda, and then for all of the pastors here, Pastor Allen and Ruth and Nathan and Jessica and Dwight and Beverly and Doug and Pam and John and Ashley, and the directors of our media, Andrew and Emily, and directors of our music, Brother Arthur and Tammy. We just thank God for the church staff and all the administrative people and the finance committee, the deacons, what it takes every single week to have church. And it's done with volunteers. If you had to pay everybody that worked here, you couldn't do it. You'd be in debt like the U.S. government. But we're blessed to have people that love the Lord and love this church, and for all these decades have sacrificed personal time, personal comfort to make things happen. And then to the Ralph Sexton Ministry Board of Directors, the Board of Advisors, my own family, Musette's family that's here, what a surprise to have them come in from Alabama and Tennessee. And then Mark and Kent and their wives were able to be here for Friday and part of yesterday. And then Beverly and Dwight are here, of course. And we're just so blessed. And then the Hearts with Hands team, our president, Brother Greg Lentz, Dr. Lentz, and his wife Jill, and all that they do. We're just indebted for everybody that brings us all together. And I couldn't survive if I didn't have some people that worked with me every single day, assistants to the office of emeritus at this church. And Jerry Payne is my confidant and advisor. And we talk every day, and we try to aggravate the devil every day by just living. So, and burying each other's secrets. So there we go. And then for Deborah Summey and Marcia, who have been right with me the whole way, with Eric and Sheila and Barbara, those at work, Debbie McCoy and Stephanie, and then Colby and Maggie. You know, Colby just celebrated 10 years on the road with me. Now we've got Maggie chaperoning us, and we're having to behave, and it's just been amazing. And handling all the logistics, and Terry Inman, and all the things that take place behind the scene. If I get to mentioning names, I'm going to get in trouble. So I told at a conference a few years ago, they said, well, how do we have pastors that reach certain calibers of position? And I said, if you want to build a pastor, then you have to have a great church. Because a church makes the pastor. The pastor doesn't make the church. The church makes the pastor. And your love and your prayers is what's made it possible. And I'm careful to make sure that the Lord gets the praise, and I'm sure to give you the thanks for being faithful. Someone asked me, how do you get recentered? And Pastor was talking in his message about the ship and sailing and cutting the ropes loose. And I could honestly tell you, I told a friend of mine out of state yesterday on the phone, I said, I've never been this excited in my life about studying the Word of God. After everybody left last night, I couldn't wait to get to the books and study. Never been that excited in my life. Never been this excited about the future and the opportunity. And why do we feel that excitement? Because we're running out of time. And that compressed time gives you that energy. We've just got a little while to work, a little while to labor, and we need to stand together. But that ship he talked about, it's got to have a rudder. It's got to have something. And I don't know if you know anything about sailing vessels and sailboats in particular, but a sailboat, and he was talking about cutting the ropes and setting the sails, but underneath a sailboat is a rudder. And they can be 12, 14 feet underwater. But that's what keeps the boat from turning over. It keeps the center of gravity. And it's also what enables the captain to set the course. And if you want to keep your life centered and you don't want to tip over, then you need to realize that when God saved you, if you got born again, old things passed away, all things became new, then what God did for you is that from that moment on, He becomes Lord of your life. And what the rudder is for me and for you is that Lordship is a daily life. He's either Lord in my life or He's not Lord at all. And that's what's going to keep you upright, bring you back on course, because is the Lord in this? Will this honor the Lord? Should I do this? Should I go there? Should I say this? What keeps bringing me back? He's Lord. And He's Lord not only of the guppy and the whale, but He better be Lord of you and Lord of your life. And that's been my center balance. That's been what's encouraged me, is to know that my salvation produces a lordship relationship that becomes evident. And therefore, if He's Lord, then He's Lord of compassion, and He's also Lord of being consistent, and then He'll be Lord of the confidence that we can serve Him. So Trinity Baptist Church, family and friends, and Trinity Baptist in heaven and on earth. A lot of people are already in heaven that made this day possible, that we could gather here on the 59th anniversary of our church, and we could have the joy of celebrating, and that all of these beautiful buildings, all 23 acres today, are debt free, and the Lord Jesus Christ holds the key, and He's blessed us and provided us that we could have a place to meet in a crazy world, that our children, our grandchildren can have a firm foundation. To God be all the glory. Great things He hath done. Brother Arthur, I think before we leave the building, on my part, I think we ought to sing the doxology, that we'll praise God from whom all blessings flow. I love you very much. Thank you for your love and prayer for me and for Musette, obviously. And thank you, Pastor Winston. And not only are you a wonderful pastor and a student of the book, but you're a pretty good grandson. I love you.